Good evening and welcome to This Week in Football from the makers of Low Limit Football. I am your host, Joe Uccello, and tonight we continue our Hall of Foot series by previewing the great Paolo Maldini. Joining me as always, Mr. Roberto Rojas and special guest, freelance football journalist Vijay Rahaman. Gentlemen, thank you both for joining me tonight. Vijay, I want to open the questioning with you and get into Maldini's beginnings. Now, the players that Rob and I have previewed so far have come from humble beginnings, I would say, you know, maybe even poor beginnings. Paolo Maldini is not that person. Obviously, the son of Cesare Maldini, who in his own right was a great defender at AC Milan. What were Maldini's beginnings? And I found it interesting watching a documentary on Maldini. His first choice to play football in Italy was actually not AC Milan. It was Juventus. So tell me about the beginnings of Paolo Maldini.
Right. So, yeah, well, as you mentioned, yeah, I saw an interview as well when he was younger, and he said that he really admired the 1978 World Cup team, the 1978 Italian World Cup team, and that team had a lot of Juve players, and yeah, he admired the club as a child. Yeah, but in terms of his how he began, well, obviously as you mentioned, his dad Cesare played for AC Milan during the 50s and 60s. So obviously he would have had the links there. But he basically came through the Milan youth setup, you know, the Primavera. He made his debut in January, I believe it was the 20th of January 1985 versus Udinese. That was under Nils Lidholm, the great Swedish player who also was a player for Milan. He actually played with with Paolo's father Cesare in the 50s. In that same year, actually, Primavera, he won the Coppa Italia Primavera. So yeah, I guess you can say for since he was coming up, he had success in his blood. So he from since then came through. He wore a couple of different numbers, but he wore the number 3, which was actually previously worn by his dad, Cesare, and which of course, as you all know, is retired now, as one of the couple of numbers that retired by AC Milan together with Franco Baresi's number 6 number. Number 6. That's basically it's from his early days into the main team.
And now, Vijay, you know, looking at what Paolo Maldini is and I guess the impact that he's made on the sport itself, and, you know, we're going to obviously stick to what he's been able to do on the pitch and how he's been so successful at AC Milan, but we want to talk about off it, because we have seen someone who has always been really a leader. I think it goes and say that with his nickname, Il Capitano, the captain, you know, that he was always very vocal. You know, he was always outspoken off the pitch as well. You know, he just had that kind of maturity. And I think it helped when he obviously had that influence of a father who played at the club and, you know, then going into the Milan starting lineup as a teenager and staying there until he retired in his 40s. I mean, how is Paolo Maldini the person perceived off the pitch, looking out his whole career and even after it when he hung up his boots some 10 years ago?
Well, I would say he is perceived purely as a gentleman, who's classy, cordial, very humble. But as you say, he's outspoken because he very rarely will hear him say quote-unquote controversial things. But if he does say something which some might perceive as controversial, it basically is because he is saying them for the good of what he's saying. So, for instance, with Milan, a lot of times he would say stuff in the past that some may take offense to, but it's only because he was looking out for the best interests of the club, you know. So I mean, off the pitch, I've personally never heard a bad word said about him either from even from rival fans. He's one of those players that even rival fans respect, you know, like a Javier Zanetti at Inter or a Del Piero from Juve, a Totti from Roma. You know, these are players that are respected the world over by fans and rival fans. So I would say that's how basically he's perceived off the field as well.
Now, Joe, obviously going into following up with that question, and you know, as an Italian yourself, Joe, knowing the personality that Paolo Maldini has had, I mean, it stems not just what you see in Italian football and Italian sport, but I think in world football, of being that kind of charismatic leader and seeing, I think, now with so many players nowadays following the kind of, obviously not the footsteps, perhaps following that influence that he's gotten because of how early he started, how early he got the captaincy for both club and country. Mm-hmm. And just using that as kind of the, it was the main step. It was the benchmark that many players want to be when they indeed take on a leadership like that. And it's a huge responsibility for anyone. I'm sure Paolo definitely handled that starting so young.
He did. And you've got to remember also from his beginnings, going back to the first question, you know, he had great role models. You talk about Cesare Maldini. He was a coach at AC Milan. He's coach of the national team. Coached Paolo Maldini, if I remember correctly, in the 88 Euros, if I'm not mistaken. So he had a great role model in dad. Then he comes into the club, AC Milan, I believe, at 16 years old or 17 years old at that age. And he comes in and gets Franco Baresi, who is also legendary in terms of defending. And I think we're going to talk about at the end where Maldini fits in among all the great defenders of the world. And Robbie, like you pointed out, 96 Euros, not the 88 Euros. So he had great examples to learn from and to follow. And he wore the captain's armband well. And Vijay, you mentioned some of the other legendary players at their respective clubs, like Del Piero, like you said, at Juventus, and Francesco Totti, you know, who's also known as El Capitano when we talk about Roma. So these are the players that really came through with him ultimately, you know, between Del Piero, kind of the bridge to Del Piero from the Baresi, from that 82 World Cup team, and then leading into the new age where Del Piero and Buffon and those guys and Cannavaro become the leaders that win the 06 World Cup. So he had great modeling to become that leader, and he was shaped into that great leader, and he wore that leader role very, very well. So I want to talk about his next role, and that's his playing position, because he's actually played, he could play three positions. He mainly played two, and Vijay, I want to get into what you would best remember him by. As a right-footed player, he started out at right back. Under Arrigo Sacchi, he was switched over to left back because, if I remember correctly, I want to say it was Tardelli that was on the AC Milan squad at the time. He's also played center back, learning from Baresi, also pairing with one of the great center back pairings in Italian football history with Alessandro Nesta when he comes up. So, Vijay, my question to you is, what did you think Maldini favored in terms of position, and what would you favor him being a Milanista yourself?
Well, you know, it's interesting because he's actually naturally right-footed, as I believe you mentioned, but because of his ability, Tassotti would have been the right back at that time, right? So yes. because of his ability, he was actually, as you mentioned, he was switched to the left back position, and he did it pretty well. He basically was two-footed, so you know, he could switch roles naturally, you know. So I mean, we always a lot of people always talk about this quote that Marley said. He said if I have to make a tackle, I've already made a mistake, right? Mm-hmm. I know he did make many mistakes in his career, let's be honest, right? But if he did on the rare occasion made a mistake, he would normally track back to defend the goal or pull back the attacker in terms of man marking him, right? So, and we already know, as I mentioned, he played in that legendary defense with Costa Curta, Baresi in the middle, and Tassotti on the right, you know, one of the greatest defenses of all time. And what made him so great was not just about being two-footed, but, you know, he had the technique, he had speed, and he had the chemistry with his teammates. And you know, that Sacchi team, and later on Capello used some of the techniques, but that Sacchi team, they moved in unison. If you watch matches, even if you just watch highlights of that team, the way that back four moved together, and Arrigo Sacchi always talked about he wanted to keep as I think he believe, I believe if I'm not mistaken, he said roughly about 35 yards between the defense and the attack. The whole, so the whole team moved in unison. And if you would watch, if you ever watch, get a chance to watch videos or even the whole match, and if you see how that back four moved together, when they're moving up to run the offside trap, they all move together. And if they if they have to move back, they all move back together. So he had that chemistry even from such a young age, because like I said, he broke into the team 1985, he would have been 16. By the time Saki came in on the team, it was 2 years later in 87, which means he would have been 18. So they won the Scudetto in 88, which he would have been 19, and won the European Cup in 89, which he would have been 20. So even from that such a young age, 18, 19, 20, he was winning the Scudetto, he was winning the European Cup, you know, the European Super Cup, the Intercontinental Cup, all by time the age of 20. So from a very, very young age, he got that experience and that success, and that held him in good stead moving forward.
Now, Rob, I want to kind of throw this over to you a little bit, because, I mean, obviously we're talking, when we do these Hall of Foot shows, we talk about greatness, and I'm not expecting you to give me an answer of greatness, but the ability for Maldini to play multiple positions on that back line and play them intelligently, is there any player right now in today's modern football that you can think of off the top of your head that might fit that same type of bill? I mean, for me right now, as a Juventino, Juan Cuadrado comes to mind, because he's obviously a wing midfielder. He can play up at that wing attacking position. He can play that wing back position as well. So he's kind of diversified himself up and down the right side of the pitch. Is there anybody that comes to mind for you that might that fits that bill? Not necessarily greatness like Maldini, but somebody that kind of can maneuver in that way.
Well, I think one obvious person or player that I was actually thinking about, obviously you can't make the big comparison. It's good that you did mention someone like Juan Cuadrado that was able to play from defense to midfield to even on the attack as a winger. But if we go strictly on position and in the defense, I have to look at a person like Cesar Azpilicueta. Now, obviously, we're not going to compare Cesar Azpilicueta with Paolo Maldini, but, you know, Cesar Azpilicueta played as a right back. He played as a left back. He plays as a center back as well at Chelsea. So yeah, it's become kind of a rarity nowadays, and I guess in the modern game, and I think that's just what made Maldini such a figure and such an emblem, a great person and great player who was able to fit the bill and be so versatile among many other positions. So he really is that kind of intelligent player, and it showed early on in his career. I mean, I think having that kind of maturity and having that kind of leadership, and also that kind of guidance from people in his camp, kind of really helped him become the player that he was and will be remembered for many years to come. So, Vijay, going into obviously my next segment, I mean, we don't have to really ask what club that they made their ascension into, because he only played for one club, and that was AC Milan. But actually getting into that, I mean, I had seen some rumors about how that he was rumored to go to leave Milan, but he always stayed. I felt like, and rightly so, because of everything that he's won. Just going into the career that he's had, obviously, you know, he started at Milan as a teenager, ended up winning back-to-back European Cups in 89 and 90, being then part of that strong under Sacchi. And then when Capello came in, he just continued to maintain his spot all the way up to the captaincy, and then to that new era back in the early 2000s under Carlo Ancelotti, and then obviously playing in four World Cups for the Italian national team. What do you believe, in your opinion, Vijay, was that kind of ascension to thinking, yeah, this player is going to be much better than what we expected, and that he wasn't just any ordinary player? What moment and when did you think that rise in ascension to create their own fame began for you?
Well, I could only speak personally from what I would have seen live. And my early watching of Milan would have been during the Capello era. Now, I saw a bit of them under Sacchi, but not so much that I could actually recall. So I could only specifically talk about what I saw. So I would track my mind back to the 1994 Champions League final versus Barca. No, that's a very famous final. And the interesting thing about that final is that Milan were missing both Baresi and Costa Curta for that final because both of them were suspended, right? So, you know, you're going into the biggest club match in world football, the European Cup final. You don't have your two best centre-backs. You're playing a Barcelona team with Romario, Stoichkov, you know, Guardiola pulling his strings in midfield, you know, the Barca dream team, you know, under Cruyff in those days. And he really stepped up in that match, you know. He really, I mean, the whole team in general, they really stepped up. All 11 players really stepped up. The whole squad really stepped up in that match. But that match, at least for me personally, from what I could specifically talk about, from what I would have seen, would have been that match, that 1994 Champions League final when, Milan missing their two key centre-backs and he stepped up. And he was a leader in the team because, you know, the captain on the night was Tassotti. Obviously, Joe know a lot about this and that. A lot of Italian teams, no matter how talented a player is, normally the Italian teams go with the most experienced player as the captain, right? So Tassotti would have been the captain. But Maldini was also giving out the odd instruction. He was also directing the defense. He was actually, you know, directing the midfield, you know, when to push up, when to pull back, who to mark, you know, these sort of things, you know. So even from that time, and he would have been 94, so he would have been like 24, I believe, at that age, 24, 25. 26. So, I mean, he would have had some experience, obviously, but in terms of being a leader and a captain, that match really, really took his game to that next level. And I guess a lot of Milan fans could probably say, well, okay, you know, Baresi is coming to the end, Tassotti is also coming to the end, but we have faith in Maldini that he will take up the mantle in terms of the captaincy armband.
So, you know, my next question would have been to give me an iconic moment or match, and I think you kind of hit on the iconic match for me, which would have been the 94 Champions League final against Barcelona. Ronald Koeman, like you said, Risto Stoichkov, Romario was in that team, Pep Guardiola, that whole dream team under Cruyff. You know, are there any other moments that you can think of? The problem is that when we talk about Diego Maradona, we've got goals. When we talk about Ronaldo, we've got goals. When we talk about defenders, we don't have necessarily goals. So I know we've listed the Barcelona match as one moment, but could the Champions League in 03 against Juventus, you know, being obviously a Serie A rival, could that be considered one as well? Could it be the 58 games that they went unbeaten under Fabio Capello and that invincible side? Would that be something that would be memorable? What other memorable moments do you have for Paolo Maldini?
Well, obviously, besides that 94 Champions League final versus Barca, the 2003 Champions League final versus Juve was also very iconic. You know, rivals meeting in a final. Up until that point, it was very rare, you know, because I believe that would have been just the second time when two teams met in the Champions League final. The first time would have been Real Madrid-Valencia in 2000. You know, now, a couple of times Italian teams met in the UEFA Cup final during the 90s, right? But that would only be the second time that two teams from the same country would have met in the Champions League final. So, yeah, that was an iconic performance as well. You know, the way and by that time, he would have had even more experience. He would have been the full-fledged captain. You know, it was an as Rob mentioned, it was previously, that was a new era under Carlo Ancelotti. You know, they brought in a bunch of new players previously, you know, Inzaghi, Seedorf, Nesta, you know, Shevchenko was taking his game to another level. You know, they brought in players like Rivaldo, who didn't contribute as much, but he still made certain contributions, you know, Yondal, Thomason, you know, these players. And Maldini at that point had the experience enough to guide these players and let them know, okay, this is AC Milan, you all are playing for now. We expect a certain level of play, and we expect to go for all trophies. And in the first year, really, that all of them was together, because they started building a team 2001 and 2002 summer. So 2003 was the first year that team was put together and ready to go for to go for the trophies. And that the fact that they reached the Champions League final and they played Juve, you know, one of the biggest rivals, in the final, and he controlled that team and the way they moved and everything, yeah, that would have been an iconic moment as well. And also the fact that that year, 2003, he would have finished third in the Ballon d'Or because Nedved won it, playing for Juve. I believe Thierry Henry got second, and Maldini came third. So, you know, that year, he came third in the Ballon d'Or. And we all know, Joe, as you mentioned, you know, we all remember Maradona goals or Ronaldo goals or whoever, Messi goals, whoever you want to call in terms of an attacker and a forward, an attacking midfielder, whoever. But in terms of defenders, it's not as easy because there's no goals, you know, as such to always track back. But the fact that as a defender, he finished third in the Ballon d'Or. And he was close behind Henry. I think he only finished maybe about 10 to 15, 20 votes behind. So the fact that he was third in the Ballon d'Or basically told you, and I believe he was in that final, the 2003 Champions League final, he was actually man of the match. So he was man of the match in the final, and he came third in the Ballon d'Or. So that was also an iconic moment as well.
Now, Vijay, just going into now talking about Paolo Maldini after he hung up his boots at the incredible age of 40, you know, he has kept himself in the spotlight for various reasons. I mean, he was now named a technical director of Milan just this year, actually. And he's also had a few children that are also following in his footsteps. You have Christian, who is playing over there, I think, in Serie D with Pro Sesto, and his other son, Daniel, playing actually on Milan, on the first team, making his senior debut just last month against Hellas. So it seems like the family ties and the tradition is still keeping place. But, you know, what has Paolo Maldini been doing? And how do you feel as a Milan fan seeing him in that technical director position and being a part of a administrative point of view for a team that really needs to go back to the old days, that really has a lot to fix in 2020?
Well, I'll take your last question first. As a Milan fan, we all Milan fans, we are happy that he's back with the club. Now, of course, the reality of the situation is, you know, recently Boban was fired, and Maldini and Boban almost came as a kind of twofer because they knew each other from 20 years ago, you know, playing together and stuff. So they had that chemistry, and the hope was that Maldini and Boban will work on the sporting and technical side and, you know, lift the club and you know, seek out players, seek out transfers, you know, scout, you know, promote the club. These sort of, they would have been the face of the club, so to speak, because they are legends of the club. So us as Milan fans can identify with them, and also potential new Milan fans could identify with them because, you know, they would have played with the club, they would have won a lot of trophies and stuff. So from that perspective, I was very, very happy when he came back to the club. You know, that would have been when Elliott management took over from the previous Chinese owners, and, you know, he came back. The interesting thing about that is that when he retired in 2009, from almost the minute he retired, the media was behind him. Okay, so Paolo, you're retired now. You know, what are your plans? And, you know, how do you see your role within Milan? You know, because a lot of people basically just took it for granted that he was just going to transit from the playing field to the upper management. But it didn't work out of that because he left in 2009 and he only came back in 2018. You know, so that's almost a decade away from the club. Now, obviously, he would have been interviewed at certain points. He would have been asked questions about the club, the situation of the club, and as we talked at the beginning of the podcast, that he would have had some certain, you know, outspoken words. You know, I mean, he clashed with Galliani a few times because of his words. But he, as I said again, he loves Milan to his heart. You know, his grandfather was a Milan fan, his father's a Milan fan, you know, so he have it there from generations. So anytime he spoke, he would have spoken because he cared about the club. And the interesting thing is also in terms of retirement, I mean, obviously he would have spent more time with his family and stuff. You know, his children would have been pretty young because they would have been maybe 6, 7, 8, 9 around that time when he retired. So he would have gotten a chance to, you know, spend more time with his family. And he actually took up tennis for a while. He actually played one professional match a doubles tennis match. I believe the tournament would have been in Milan, actually. They lost, unfortunately. I think it was 6-6-1, 6-3, something like that, you know. So he played that one professional tennis match. So, I mean, he tried another sport as well, besides the fact that, you know, he kept it. But he always, the interesting thing about him is that he always kept himself fitter. You know, he always kept himself fit and well-groomed. So, you know, that's interesting. So, I mean, I was very happy when he came back. You know, he was away for almost a decade. So, I would say a lot of Milan fans were happy when he came back.
It's funny you should say that, because Rob and I went to see AC Milan play in the International Champions Cup up in Boston, and Maldini was there, and we saw him on the pitch from the stands where we were. And Rob, I'm pretty sure I commented to you that he looked like he was still fit enough to play.
And some of those photos that you've seen, some of the videos of him doing those charity games, he looks like he could still put on the boots and play right now.
Amazing. So Vijay, for my final question of the night, we want to talk about where Paolo Maldini ranks among the great defenders in world football. And you think about some of the things you mentioned. You know, you mentioned earlier that he said one time that if he had to make a tackle, he made a mistake. So, you know, you talk about his intelligence, his game intelligence on the pitch during play. You talk about his strength, his tackling ability, which was second to none. And you look at the great Italian defenders and the great defenders in world football. When we talk about Italian defenders, we talk about Fabio Cannavaro. We talk about Franco Baresi. You know, we talk about Alessandro Nesta, who he partnered with, even Giorgio Chiellini these days. And worldwide, we talk about Sergio Ramos. We talk about Carlos Puyol. We talk about Franz Beckenbauer, Virgil van Dijk nowadays. Where does Paolo Maldini, for you, rank among the world defenders all time in the history of this game?
Well, this is an interesting thing for me personally. Now, I personally don't believe in the whole best ever thing. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people is like, well, who's the best ever? And when I say best, I'm talking about best ever. You know, a lot of people say, well, Maradona or Messi or Cruyff or Brazilian Ronaldo, Portuguese Ronaldo, Miazza, whoever it is, Zidane, whoever it is you want to call, right? I personally don't believe in best ever. I personally believe in best of that era, whatever era you played in. I believe that. Mm-hmm. Because that's what they can really compare, because the situations are different, you know, the structure is different and stuff. But when you're talking about Paolo Maldini, he is right up there. If we take our argument in terms of greatest of all time, let's look at, you have left backs. Let's go through the thing. Let's go through the whole process, right? You have all the categories. You have left backs, you have defenders, you have Milan defenders and players, you have Italian defenders and players, and then you have European and world defenders and players. He's right up there with the very, 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 very best. You mentioned a couple of names, you know, like Franz Beckenbauer, you have Bobby Moore, you have Franco Baresi, Gaetano Scurria, you know, you have Nilton Santos, who played for Brazil. You know, you have a lot of great defenders in the history of this game, and he's right up there. So I guess it's basically just for those who personally believe in greatest of all time, which, like I said, I don't. But for those who personally believe in greatest of all time, a lot of people will consider him the greatest. For me personally, he is one of the greatest of all time. You know, and I'm talking about all those categories, whether it be wing backs, defenders, Milan defenders and players, Italian defenders and players, Europeans. World footballers, he's right up there, really very best. Let me put it to you. I can put it to you this way: if I was to make an all time team, a greatest 11 of all time, mm-hmm. when I'm picking my left back, he will be the first name I will pick. That is the best. That is the best way I can put it. If I'm making a greatest 11 of all time, and I'm thinking about a left back, my left back position, Paolo Maldini will be my left back. That's the best way I can put it.
Rob, I want to kind of throw that at you as well. Where does Paolo Maldini rank for you in the world?
You know, I kind of have to agree with what Vijay said in regards to, you know, not believing in just best ever, just because it's such a polarizing debate, but going based on era. However, I will go on the contrarian and say, as in terms of best ever players, I think in his position, at least in the era that he played in, I think he is the best defender of you know, that 90s era, 2000s era, you would say he's up there because of the trophies that he won and the consistency that he proved all throughout many, many years. In terms of players ever, I mean, it's tough. I mean, unfortunately, there are many greats in the game who will be remembered for not being that top player because they failed to win something internationally. And Maldini, unfortunately, was never able to win silverware in the Euros or in the World Cup. So, and that shouldn't be a stain on his career, nevertheless. But I think in terms of what he was able to demonstrate in that position, that leadership, that cold consistency, I think he's really up there as one of the best defenders. Not just going specifically on being center backs, left backs, right backs, that kind of thing. I think in terms of position and where he's at, he is definitely among the top three best defenders of all time. Mm-hmm. And, you know, whether we go deeply into what he did all throughout his career and comparing it to other players, it'll be tough to see if he can go number one, which wouldn't be surprising to say the least. But in my personal opinion, I think he really goes up there as one of the best defenders of all time in that top three range.
No doubt about it. And gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining me. And I would be remiss not to mention that at the time of this recording, both he and Daniel Maldini are currently diagnosed with the coronavirus. They are getting better by all reports. And we wish them I'm sorry. Yeah, and we wish them both a very, very speedy recovery and good health in the future. So for Vijay Rahman and for Roberto Rojas, I am Joe Uccello for This Week in Football from the makers of Illuminate Football. As we give you our Hall of Foot episode on Paolo Maldini, thank you for listening and good night.